Hey, hey, Real Talkers, it's Dr. Nikki here. Angie and I are back, and we're on season 3 of Never Have I Ever, episodes 7 and 8. So pull up a piece of couch, get a snack, hang out, watch the 2 episodes of Never Have I Ever, listen to the podcast, and get talking, get real talking. All right, we love you guys.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us to talk about Never Have I Ever. Now we're on season 3. We're checking out episodes 7 and 8. So we're talking about Davey making mistakes. We get to see a lot of that. We're talking about Anissa and Fabiola. We get to talk about Davey forgetting to be the sad girl. I thought that part was really interesting, feeling like responsible for staying sad because her dad died and she remembers, I need to be the sad girl, and getting stuck in the role. So we've got lots to discuss today. I'm Angie Solly. Nikki, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Nikki. Some people call me Dr. Nikki. And Angie and I had been on a little bit of a hiatus. You know, it is amazing when life kind of takes over and there are some ways in which we need to, you know, pivot. And I think that's one thing that we've gotten really good at is pivoting when need be. And so you've got a couple of little bonus episodes in there, and I'll keep sprinkling them through. But we are back to our regularly scheduled program, and it is so fun to watch this show still. I never get tired of it. I've watched these episodes just because, like, I really want to dive deep a couple of times and I'm not bored with them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're doing the same thing, but I just keep kind of loving it. So this is episode 7 and 8.
Yes. And so much fun. Okay. Thank you. Yes. Thanks for the bonus episodes, and thanks everyone for listening to tune in and see what we can learn from Never Have I Ever and being here. So you watched twice. Tell me what grabbed you.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because episode 7 started out with, Davey kind of waiting for Des to get back in touch with her or to text her, especially because previously they seemed to have a really good time. They went to a party together. They were there making Paxton jealous and kind of getting connected. And she realized that she wasn't thinking about Paxton. She was actually thinking about Des, and he asked for her number and she said yes. And so she thought that he would text. So I think it's, you know, it's interesting, kind of like, how long does one wait for somebody to text them? And is it okay for them to not text them? And I think we talked about that a little bit before, but you see in this episode, they actually did figure out how to get together again. And she did get brave enough to ask him why it was that he didn't text her. And he told her that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is an issue, I think, that parents probably have not faced in their younger years relationships, and that young people today really are doing. You can have a great date, a great time with someone, and then it's wondering when the text is going to come, or wondering when you should text, or who's going to be the first to text, or then you start second guessing if the other person's not texting me back. Did they have a great time the way that I did? Was it not as fun as I thought it was?
Okay, but Angie, this is not new. Like, waiting for somebody to call. I used to wait forever for somebody to call on my house phone, or waiting for somebody to write, or waiting for somebody to call on somebody else in their house. I mean, I think that this goes back. This is not a new thing, like waiting to kind of figure out if somebody's feelings are reciprocated or not.
That's true. And it's not, because it's not an established thing. There has never been a rule across cultures and ages that at age 15, the girl calls the boy back exactly 48 hours after seeing each other, or the guy calls the person who's interested, better call. Like, there's no directions here for us to follow. And I think often we just get stuck in that wondering and waiting. And you're right, whether it used to be waiting for a telephone call or waiting for someone to come knock on your door again or whatever we were doing, nobody knows the rules here.
I love your idea about the rules, though. I mean, it would be better off to have the rules and then somebody give an honest answer. Like, you know, just so you know, I am not going to text you and I'm not going to give you a reason. You're perfectly wonderful and fine. Just the love connection or the spark or whatever it is not quite there for me, or I'm not in a place to hear that. And mm-hmm. I kind of love the thought about the rules, but I don't know if you remember that book, The Rules. It came out in the 90s. I think it might be a little bit older than you. But
I've heard of The Rules, but I don't know what the rules are. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, The Rules kind of came out while I was in kind of prime dating mode. And there were definite ideas, mostly about sex, you know, but also about like when you contact, and it was mostly a book for girls or women, or in order to somehow land the guy or the relationship. Uh-huh. And so the rules were very specific. So it's so funny that you say this thing about rules. There were very specific rules, like you have to wait 3 dates before you have sex with somebody or something like that, or, uh-huh. you know, at least 48 hours before you call somebody or before, you know, and you never ever call them first. So it was a very, you know, kind of heteronormative, based on very traditional ways in which you will have a relationship, man and woman.
Interesting.
And it was very, very big back then.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that was popular. Why were people willing to sign up for that? Like, I'll follow someone else's rules on
because they want something understood. Like, isn't that what religion is?
Yes.
Isn't that what, like, they want something, like just what you said, like, is there a rule for a 15-year-old, 48 hours? I would like those rules. I would like to at least understand. Maybe I'd be hurt. Maybe I'd feel bad, but at least I would understand what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something comforting about knowing what is expected, even if you choose to break it and you decide, I'm calling this person 2 hours after I saw them, but you know what the prescribed expectation is, I guess, at that point. So,
yeah, but also the expectation to not like allow yourself to feel hurt. So I think everybody is really trying to figure out how to not feel vulnerable or not feel hurt or not feel something that doesn't feel good. So mm-hmm. I think that's part of the reason why most people would like those kind of rules, at least. So we put ourselves.
Yeah. And what Davey was trying to avoid while she's wondering if he's going to call and she's not decide, she didn't just spend 2 seconds and dial his number and say, what's going on? I thought we would have talked by now. What's up with you? She just waited that whole time wondering and kind of had to talk to her friends to figure out what she should do about it.
Well, at first she was trying to really decide, like, was that real or not? You know, is her phone working? She kept texting everybody, like, is my phone working? Is something going on? Like, you're kind of hopeful and assuming that there's something that's actually happening that is preventing you from getting the call that you've been so anxiously awaiting. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting just watching her go through the angst of that. And how do you go through angsty situations? Like, what is the way in which people get through their own personal angst with expectations that they have and disappointments that usually could come with it?
Yeah.
You know,
which is fun for us all to pay attention, because none of us want to pay any attention to that, to notice how often you're refreshing your Instagram or you're making up excuses about why maybe your number could have been wrong and that person lost your number, they dropped their phone in the toilet, and just noticing how you feel and what you start thinking when you're in that place of anxiety or angst or uncertainty.
Yeah, no, I'm so with you on that. And I was thinking about that the other day because I had a situation where something happened and I thought I had done something wrong and somebody was really mad at me. And I had such an over response to it that I realized it was kind of like this triggered response. And it was really like almost a trauma related response in some ways. And maybe this isn't really that. And I really had to figure out, like, what do I do when I have a feeling or a response like that rather than reacting and acting weird, which is what I did do. But I did figure out, like, all of a sudden I decided to write like the 5 steps on how to actually like work on a triggered or trauma response, which I could definitely put in the show notes. But I'm just imagining that for me, you know, somebody who is always working on this stuff to really feel those things so strongly and for it to make me so wacky and weird. That there's something that all of us could definitely benefit from.
That's something we can all learn from. So we see that a little bit too with Fabiola and Anissa, with Fabiola being so uncertain for a while about how to. At first, they had that kiss, and then she was not certain what it meant or what her feelings were. Then, once she realized she liked Anissa, then it's uncertainty of how to go from their friendship to the relationship, and what does everyone want? And yeah, how much PDA, how do they kiss? All of that stuff
What
and
does it mean
question.
if your kissing or hugging is awkward or not comfortable? Does that mean you're not right together? Does that mean you need to work on it together? Like, what does that mean? And I guess the other thing is just because you share a kiss with somebody or you share something intimate, do you necessarily have to change the relationship right away? And that's an interesting thing that happens in our society, that idea that the second you become sexually intimate or intimate, you know, in a more than friendly way, that you somehow have to change the relationship. Maybe the relationship's never meant to be changed. Maybe that's just something that happened, or maybe it is. I don't know. But we have that line in the sand about what that means for the relationship. And I don't know if it always means that. It definitely didn't mean that with Fabiola and Anissa, although I think it's interesting to do some exploration. And I think they got to explore quite a bit. And you'll see in the next episode, they did realize that they actually were not meant to be more than friends. Because when Fabiola met somebody who really did kind of rock her world, or at least seemed to have similar interests and, you know, similar sensibilities, that Anissa picked up on it right away. I mean, Anissa's pretty emotionally smart. I really, but yeah.
I think this relationship, Fabiola and Anissa, is a great, it's kind of a great portrayal, an example of a solid relationship with trust, consideration, with genuine feelings. And it's not a perfect relationship, quote unquote, as in like everything all works out perfectly and is always happy and smooth and easy. It's bumpy and it's awkward right now, but they are both genuine people who are open to talking. They're open to saying, like, hey, is this weird for you? Does this feel a little awkward? They're open to saying, what do you think about taking our relationship from friendship to girlfriends? I really care about you more on a deeper level, and I want to try that. And so they talk about things, they hear each other, and they try to work together. And then I just think this is nice to see in a world where often in books and movies and TV, we just see kind of explosive relationships with, and also on Never Have I Ever, we see kind of extreme situations. Or Davy trying to not have that discussion or not admit how she feels or act an opposite way to what she's actually feeling. But Dave, I mean, but Anissa and Fabiola really don't try to avoid their feelings. So I appreciate that about their relationship.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I mean, Fabiola has always been my fabulous girl. It's like Fabiola girl. I mean, she really, truly is always trying to think well, to do the right thing, to be her authentic self. Fabiola really tries to do that as best as she can, even with the struggles of whatever's going on with dating and trying to be cool and still loving the things she loves and having to deal with the family and so on. So Fabiola really, I think, does beautifully that way. And Anissa, who is an extremely different person than Fabiola, is also incredibly thoughtful and kind and continues to try and stay open and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate both of those. I really do love who Davy surrounds herself with. When you mm-hmm. think about the people, like, I know that I'm the Paxton fan and you're not quite the Paxton fan, although maybe you're more of a Paxton fan now. I don't know, but he always seems to notice when his friend Davy, so he didn't just completely like toss her to the wind, needs a little encouragement or needs a little help or needs a little person in there. And I think he does really well by her, or at least he tries.
Yeah, Paxton is. He's certainly become a considerate person and considerate to Davy. He's grown a lot. I also like Eleanor, who, like Fabiola, is always true to herself. But like Davy, she represents that piece where once in a while she goes a little haywire in like one direction of trying to create some kind of a scheme. That time when she thought she wanted to be on TV and meet Trent's uncle. So I like that in the characters we don't see like one ideal of it. Often I feel like there's this portrayal of like the good girl and the bad girl, and kind of society wants you to choose that good girl. And in these characters, we see that kind of everyone makes some mistakes. People can choose their own path. People can embrace themselves. They can make some mistakes. You can just, you know, do things a little messily at times. You can learn from those mistakes. You can grow. You can still be a good person. You can still maintain friendships through that kind of rocky path.
Yeah, I love your word messily. And I think that life is definitely messy. And just to embrace where we make choices and decisions that sometimes might or might not work out the way we envision, or mm-hmm. that might be with integrity or might not, just based on what it is we want or somehow are interested in pursuing or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Eleanor would not be the first person that actually said things that she didn't necessarily mean in order to land a role or to get the job she wanted or to do something that she was really passionate about. But she does exactly. question. She questions again. Like, they always come back and look. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, all you could ask of anybody, is that no matter what decisions you've made, you could still decide to look again, mm-hmm. constantly look, reach for something different. That's all you could ever expect from anybody. I don't expect that everybody's going to make the perfect decision, or maybe you don't know what the perfect decision is until you've made it. Right. But just to really allow yourself to revisit or reevaluate or do something in order to make it right or make it better or think better or whatever it is. I love that. I love
that. That's smart. That's great advice, Nikki. That's a good reminder. Just to think about it. And that's where the thought and insight comes from that prevents us from making the same mistake, or it allows us to grow and make a decision, an informed decision next time. Maybe we make the same decision again. Maybe we change it this time. But if we don't reflect back on what we've done and really look at it and acknowledge how it worked out or if it worked out, it's harder to learn from that. What about this idea of, what do you think of Davy telling the therapist, I realized I got so caught up in my new relationship that I forgot to be the sad girl, this obligation that she should be sad.
Right. I think that we often equate being sad with continuing to care. And so if we're having too much fun, or if we're enjoying our lives, or if we somehow have forgotten something for a little while, the assumption is that we have forgotten the person that we are sad about, or mm-hmm. whatever the situation is. It's like, it's kind of like not being upset with somebody for a moment. We almost decide like, oh, if I'm not upset with them, it's almost like I'm forgiving them. And that almost means that they can continue to do whatever it is they do or do again. Or maybe I think the bottom line is that they'll somehow be vulnerable again. So you don't want to get too happy or too open or too vulnerable in order to be hurt one more time. And I think that part of whatever her identity was that sad girl. So you were talking about that before, the sad girl who lost her father during a concert and lost the use of her legs. But that also took her out of the original identity that she was, which was the dorky girl that she thought people didn't like at all. So I think one thing that is probably good to do is to notice, like, when you take on these identities, how does it serve you? Like, where are you benefiting from it? And when you figure that out, then you could decide if you like that benefit or not. But it's very hard to give it up if you don't actually look at what's benefiting you about what it is you've decided to take on.
Yeah. And who is giving us that identity, right? Like, who decided that Davy would be a sad girl or should be a sad girl? Did everyone just assume she was sad because her dad died? Does she feel like it's her responsibility to be sad? Because if she walked around happy and giggling, that wouldn't honor the tremendous loss in her life. Who gives Davy the role of being like kind of a dorky, awkward geek? Did she feel like she was that person, so she's defined herself that way? Did other people tell her, you're dorky, you're not a popular kid, and so she's accepted their definition of her? That also is fun to, I shouldn't say fun, it's interesting to look at and think about. Are we choosing how we define ourselves? Are we letting other people choose how we define
ourselves? That's such a great point, because I think that there might be other people who might believe that, but it's not true 100% of the time and completely across the board. Like, when you look at these particular episodes, especially that one, being on the debate team is the dorky thing to be on when you're at Sherman Oaks at Davy School. But being on the debate team at Des's private school is like the cool kids. They were like beating up the jocks.
Yeah.
So it really always depends. I was thinking about that because I knew this one guy who was in chorus. He was in choir, and he was in an all-boys school, and choir was really, really big in an all-boys school. But in the co-ed public school, for a boy to be in choir meant something about, you know, his masculinity or not. He would never do it. So he always said that if I went to the public school, I probably would not be singing right now. So we actually allow the environment of the school in some ways to decide what we need to do in order to fit in, or in order to not have the identity that somehow we don't want and we believe other people will give us, that we ultimately always give ourselves, because it's never one-to-one. It's never 100% that you will have that identity.
Right, which Davy finally realizes. One, she had been so fixated on the idea that having Paxton as your boyfriend made whoever had Paxton as a boyfriend made you cool. That meant you were attractive, you were worthwhile, you were desirable, all of the pieces of being Paxton's girlfriend. And then when she had it, she didn't think every day, I'm so awesome, I'm desirable, I'm just great as I am. She still
exactly
had
the opposite. She was questioning every day, doubting every day, doubting his love for her at every moment. It's like that arrival fantasy stuff we talked about, that you believe that once you get there, you're going to be okay, but you still bring all of your beliefs with you. So unless you clean that stuff up, any outside situation or circumstance that you take on believing that it's going to make your life better never actually does. It actually makes you more worried in some ways. Like, you almost wouldn't even believe that somebody like Paxton would even like you, even though that's your biggest hope and dream. And you tried so hard to have him as a boyfriend, but she couldn't even believe it for a second.
Yeah. When he was telling her directly, I like you, when everything he was doing was saying, I like who you are and find you attractive. Totally. She still couldn't believe it.
Not at all. Well, it's interesting that he's dating this other person because he really felt like he needed somebody not quite so complicated. But, you know, they really make her into a very not depthy, I don't know if that's a word, not a particularly deep person. And you could see that he's actually questioning his own identity about how he envisions himself. And now he believes himself a really smart person. He believes himself a capable person, somebody that would go to a museum with somebody. So it's interesting to watch Paxton develop into somebody who believes that he deserves more. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah, and we're not seeing a lot of great things from Ben in these episodes, I have to admit,
Yeah,
but
you're off Ben now, let me tell you, because he's been a, you know, they use that D word for him constantly lately.
yeah, I
Yeah.
mean it, which he definitely carries. He has had that all the way since the beginning. It that never went away completely. But we just saw more like heart underneath that and more of his backstory. So we know why it's there, because he's got all these insecurities and trying to prove himself because of his parents ignoring him, all of the backstory that we've seen with him. So
Yeah.
Paxton, I have to admit, is has
It's
learned a
running
lot. He's
he's
coming
the
far.
race runner at the moment. He's in the lead for
But
this.
I still haven't given up on Ben, and I really like Des.
Yeah.
He's what a great guy. He's so fun. Yeah.
Yeah, Des is really sweet. And I love that he just loves Davey that much. Like, that's really, really cool. Yeah, he's a pretty awesome guy, that's for sure. And he admitted that he felt like she was really smart, like he liked that and possibly even smarter than he was. And that was a really, I thought that was a pretty vulnerable, wonderful thing to say.
Yeah, we haven't seen, he hasn't had to overcome all the negative things that Paxton had at the beginning. Paxton was just a playboy, ladies man or something, and then and Ben was just a complete jerk and loser. And so both of those characters we've seen grow a lot. And Des has just been a really nice, kind of cool guy.
Yeah, do you think he's like the combination of Ben and Paxton, like smart and good looking, you know, like and cool and whatever?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Yeah, kind of. He does. He has their good qualities, both of their good qualities. He
Yeah.
likes Davy for who she is,
Yeah.
like Ben. And yeah, and they line up on what they're interested in and their pursuits. That's right. As much as Davy does not want to fit into the idea of the Indian marriage or her mom's like vision of her dating a nice Indian boy from a good family, she
Right.
figures
Oh,
out that they
yeah.
do kind of fit together in this case.
Yeah, no, they definitely, and it does make life easier. Like, and I'm watching Kamala and Manish, and even though they are very different in some ways, the fact that they are both from the same culture does make life somewhat easier. You know, I think about that, and I don't know if you think about that for your relationship, but you know, the person that I married was Jewish, culturally Jewish, and that did make things easier. There were ways in which we spent the holidays together, and there are life affirming events that happened that were all very similar. And so that made it easier, especially in a culture that has a certain amount of ritual to it.
Yeah, then you already know that you have those combined or similar experiences.
Right, definitely. I know that Raya had said, you know, so Raya's been around a lot, Des's mother, and she said this thing, I wrote it down, because Nalini was just being very vulnerable about how hard things were with Davy when they were cleaning out the garage and saw Davy's wheelchair. And she said something about, you know, Des has always been so easy, and she should be grateful. Like it, but the way she said it, it almost seemed like a little slight to Nalini. Like, well, I mean, Des has just always been such a good guy, you know, and hasn't given me the problems that, Davy gave. I don't know if you felt that way too, but that definitely rubbed me the wrong way.
No, it did. Yeah, did feel judgmental and just not accepting of, yeah, is Davy allowed to fall apart? Is she allowed to see a therapist and have a traumatic response to her father's death? And can we fully accept that in our culture and among our friends and look around and think, like, are there people that I judge for having an emotional reaction? How much emotional reaction do we allow is okay? But then if someone's like throwing dishes across the floor and smashing them, then people think, okay, now that's too far. You're not allowed to have that much emotion, right? We all have some line of what we accept, and it looks like
And it's different for every
Raya.
person. I mean,
Yeah.
different for guys, different for girls. I mean, I think
Yes.
I always say the mental health system is really what keeps everybody in line because there is not much slack for it. And
Right.
also it's the thing that'll get you kind of put away. So we tend to be very careful about what we show in terms of our emotional highs and lows and fluxes and stuff like that.
Yeah, so it's good to see that from a character who so far we like just seems like a good friend for Nalini, interesting person who is raising Des. Like we haven't seen anything negative from her, but just to notice that small, sneak, underhanded, well, my life's so easy, like implication that somehow Davy is too emotional
Right,
or
too
has
difficult.
been too much.
Yeah. And I think Davy probably believes that about herself as well, that she might just be too much. That's
Yeah,
for
she
sure.
has questioned that at times. Yeah, she has
Yeah.
said, am I just too much? Is it,
Is it
does
hard to love
Paxton,
me?
yeah, it can, is Paxton choosing an uncomplicated girl because I am? So she called herself maybe complicated or over emotional.
So true. I one other quick thing because I think we're kind of coming to an end here. We've hit these two episodes pretty well. Why is Ben taking that art class? Is that his like, you know, his start of the relaxation and him getting easy A's rather than
Yeah,
pushing
wasn't
himself so
it
hard?
something where there was that competition where they were both trying to get more credit hours or whatever it was for college, and then finally he decided to be a more well-rounded. He said he couldn't take art because he had to take all highly competitive classes or something. And now he's realizing that he has to stretch himself a little bit, that art might not just be the easy A, there might be something more to it.
Well, I think what they're asking him to do is to look deeper. So I think the art class kind of symbolizes Ben is going to have to start to dig a little deeper if he really wants to heal. So not only about his father telling him that he loves him, but he's going to have to heal his own soul. So I think that pear represented Ben's soul. And right now his soul is pretty lifeless, or at least what it looked like in the pear. But anyway.
Right, because the analogy of Ben, of what Davy believed that Paxton would bring her perfect peace and happiness and achieve total confidence. Ben has the same idea that getting into whatever college he wants to get into and winning all the competitions and getting the grades will bring him that ultimate confidence, that total peace, joy, and happiness. So they both have that one focused goal that they believe is going to change everything and are coming to find that maybe there's more to life than that one goal.
For watching, it was the valedictorian giving a speech, And she was talking about in order for her to become valedictorian, that she had to give up so much that at that point she was sorry she gave up. And it was one of those speeches that I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe you made that at a graduation of a school. She's like, I watched that person like draw to her heart's content. I saw that person play a piece of music that I love so much. These other people went to a party and I didn't do that. And it was a pretty amazing speech. And she was just telling everybody to just be themselves and do themselves. Like there wasn't one right way, but I was like so impressed with that speech. But it is interesting to watch some people have a good time and still end up in a similar place. Like it didn't, I think about them, about me as like a physician, like, you know, so I went to a state school where I didn't like have a ton of loans and other people were like fighting to get into a more prestigious medical school. But 35 years out, I am still a doctor and they are still doctor, you know, so, but yes. I had some more fun maybe, but anyway, so I'm just thinking about that.
Oh, that's so true. Oh, that's such a good point. We can get there in by a different route. Yeah, we get really sucked into thinking there's only one way that it will work. And we forget to realize that it could work out with the same result on a different,
in a different way. Yeah. All right.
Great.
I think we hit all the really fun, important points here. So everybody watch Never Have I Ever and sit down and pull up a piece of couch and listen to the podcast. And soon we're going to have season 3 fun book coming out. So, you know, if you're just tuning in now, start with season 1 and just have like a ton of fun. Really the best way to move anything forward is to find joy and fun and some ease and flow with all of this, because the topics might be difficult, but they don't have to be. They could be really relaxed, and this is a way to do it.
This is it. That's
all right. All right, everybody. We love you. Goodbye.